God is good. Amen. God is good.
Amen. All the time.
All the time. Yeah. You know what I tell people when I travel? They always say God is good all the time. But that comes from Psalms. You know that?
Yeah.
And you know what it says? God is good and his mercy endures forever. That's why we call him good. So I teach them, I train them to say, God is good and his mercy endures forever. So God is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Ah, you great students. As I said, it's good to be with you again. I always enjoy ministering the word of God. Kathy could not be here this morning. Kathy is my wife, in case you don't know, for 54 years. And so we had planned to have some of our grandkids, maybe a month or so ago. Our daughter came and says, we'd like to go away for a weekend. Would you keep the kids? And of course, they're with us a lot. Our youngest daughter's three children, they're 14, 13, and 10. I mean, you know, last weekend I was in a graduation of my third granddaughter and out in Taylor University. If you're looking for a good university, Taylor University is a Christian university, just awesome. They had a worship service there. It was just beautiful. So that's a good place for your children or grandchildren to go at least check it out. So she graduated and she's getting married on Friday, this coming Friday. And I'm going to officiate the wedding. And I count that a great honor. I also did my other granddaughter, my second granddaughter, last year in June, or maybe it was in May. I think it was in June. Also officiated her wedding. My oldest grandchild is 26. Now, I know I don't look that old, but that's how it is. I tell people we got married when we were 12, but that usually doesn't go over very well because people don't believe me. And rightfully so, they don't. So anyway, Kathy said hello. She wishes she could be here. But grandchildren, we love grandchildren. I love them. I love them. I said to my grandkids one time, my children, and they didn't like it very well. I said, I think God should figure out a way to have the grandkids first. Yeah, right. Anyway, it's good to be here. I count it an honor. I thank God. Thank Donna and Dale inviting me to come back. And just to see your beautiful faces. And I know you're hungry for the Word of God. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. When I was here about a month ago, we spoke out of Ephesians chapter 5, and then we talked about going deeper with God. I don't know if you remember that or not. So Ephesians chapter 5, it's a scripture I've been dwelling on quite a bit in the last couple of years, preaching on it. And no matter how often we read it, it seems like we always get something new. And that's how we approach the Word of God today. We approach the Word of God laying aside basically what we know or what we think we know. But sometimes when we approach a scripture, sometimes we think, oh man, you know, that's such a familiar scripture. What else is there in there? But I have found if we don't misunderstand me when I say this, but if we kind of empty ourselves of all the things we know while we're listening to the Word of God or even reading to the Word of God, then we're opening ourselves up to receive even new things by the Spirit of God. If I come with an attitude, well, I know it already, I'm not going to receive anything. And then if I have that kind of attitude, I will be judging the preacher, what he's saying, and I don't want you to do that today. I do want you to listen well, though, in case if I preach some kind of heresy, then you need to tell me. Because we go by what the Word of God says, amen, and everything we share, you should be able to go into the Scriptures and make sure or verify that it's truth. All right. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that the Word of God is a foundation that will never be shaken. We thank you, Lord, for the promises in your Word. And, Lord, I thank you that today we have the opportunity to put another brick in the foundation of our lives. And as we do that, our lives will not be shaken, no matter what's happening around us. So we thank you, Father. We know and thank you for Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit guides us, directs us in the Word of God. Holy Spirit guides us and directs us in what we share today and in the words that come forth. And we believe that Holy Spirit is our teacher and causing the Word of God to come alive as we share. In Jesus' name, amen. So in Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly. I use the New King James, and I know there's other different translations, which is okay, but I still like my New King James. Sometimes there's things in the King James that are omitted in some of the other translations. Not saying that those translations aren't good, but I just have been taught in the King James, and that's, I guess, why I like it. I preach in it, and so on. See, before I did that, I did want to share a little bit. I almost forgot. We were in Sierra Leone. We left on the 13th of May and came back on the 22nd. And I don't know how much I had shared the last time I was here, but I felt the Lord wanted us to go back. We have a ministry called Horizons of Hope that we started in 07. I guess it's 07. Kathy's not here to correct me. She remembers the dates quite well. And we had conferences, medical teams. We create chapters in different cities, the main cities. And then we had 16 training centers where we take the Word of God not only to the big cities, but also out into the villages, because it's hard for people to travel there. And you all know where Sierra Leone is?
Yes. Okay.
No? Yes, maybe. It's in Africa. All right, but Africa is big, very big. Some people say, oh, you're going to Africa, and you know, they think we're... No, Africa is, I think it has 37 countries in it, something like that. So if you look at the west side of Africa, it comes down, and then you have this horn here, right? It comes down like this, and then in that corner, that's where Nigeria is. And then you come up around, and then Sierra Leone is here, right on the curve, alongside of Liberia. How many of you know where Liberia is? More than Sierra Leone. So we had 16 training centers. And trained teachers. We went over and trained different teachers and so on. And then COVID hit, and they all shut down. But one, I found out on this trip, one went straight through. And we didn't know. I wasn't there since 2019, and we didn't know. We knew some things that were happening, but we didn't know if the people there and the leaders there wanted to continue and had passion for the vision. And I was hesitant in going back for some reason. Sometimes God speaks to you. I think this is also for somebody this morning. Sometimes God speaks to you and you really don't want to do it. And you just kind of, I don't know if I want to do that. But you know, if it's God, he'll continue to speak to you. He's not going to hit you over the head. But he is very patient with us. And he will continue to speak to you concerning something that God's speaking to you. So that's how it was with me. Inside of me, I felt I need to go. But I wasn't excited about going. So we decided to go, and we were there for a week in the country. And it was amazing what we found and what God did. We got off that plane, and we were running, and we were busy. So we went basically to four different cities. And in the first city was the last place we were at before COVID hit. And so they never had a real opportunity to start their training center, even though they had organized a chapter. A chapter is made up of building. The purpose is to build unity among pastors, and then to they meet once a month and so on, and have membership into the chapters. And so they had organized a chapter, but never had an opportunity to do the training center. So we went back. That was our first stop, and we were pleasantly surprised. One of the leaders there, he had invited, you know, had organized the meeting, and there was 25 pastors there, which was awesome. So we were able to reestablish the vision there. They already had everything in place. The structure was still in place, and they had a passion for it, and that's what we were looking for, because they have to own it. We don't go over there and try to do things for them. We have trained them from the time we started that they need to own it and not look to us Americans to provide all the money and everything they need, because that's poverty mentality. That's what it is. When we look to other sources except God, that's poverty mentality. And if you want to see poverty, go with me to Sierra Leone.
That's right.
I know you can see it other places, but it's one of the poorest nations in Africa, Sierra Leone is. So as an example, $50 a month is basically their average salary. $50 a month. You say, how can you live like that? I don't know. I don't know how they do it. You know? But they do it. So from that, we reestablished that. They're going to start classes again. And then the next day, we had a marriage conference. These same pastors brought their wives. And I have to give you one testimony of what God did. So at the end, we opened it up where some people wanted to share a little bit. And this one gentleman, he was retired from ministry or from pastoring, and he had married a woman that was probably 35 years younger than him. His first wife had passed away. And he got up. He said, I want to say something. He got up, and in front of all those other peers and all the people that were there, he apologized to his wife and asked his wife to forgive him of how he treated her. It was powerful. You just don't do that over there. Maybe not over here either, but it was so powerful. And I'm sure, and then she wanted to say a little bit, but she couldn't talk much. She just cried. So we prayed for him, and like Kathy does, she wrapped her arms around her, ministered to her. Yes, amen. So then we went to the next place. We found pretty much the same thing. And every place we went, we found that there was still a lot of passion, vision, and they wanted to continue. So as of today, in Freetown, which was the last place we stopped, Freetown is the capital city, the main city. There, we had three individuals left that were still, because our main leader has passed away about 2 months ago, right? Same time as Pastor Bill passed away. Over there, life expectancy is only like 48 or 49. I know I've shared a few of these things the last time we were here. But they were passionate. They are still holding classes. They held classes all the way through COVID. They're graduating their fourth class yesterday. They graduated their fourth group of students. And they'll continue. So God is good. He's doing a wonderful work. And we had one lady come from another town named Kono, where we had many training centers. And she came, and she wanted to make sure we come to Kono. We said, we cannot this trip. We just don't have time. And she almost cried, because she said, I need teaching for my people. And just to give you a little background there, she was from a group of, when we went there first, I forget which year it was, there was a whole group of pastors came, and they were from an organization that they called the Spiritual Churches. And they did some weird stuff. They dressed in white, and they just did some weird stuff. And we had a conference of about 400 leaders and pastors, and some of them came up to us and said, why are you letting them come? Says they shouldn't be coming. Not to this, because they aren't, they're not even, you know, they're so far out in some of their beliefs. And we said, why wouldn't they come? Why wouldn't we let them come? And it was a little contention because of some of the other pastors. So they came, and one night, Usman, the fellow we work with there, he had an evangelistic message one evening in that conference, and a majority of those pastors came up and got saved. Yeah, a lot of pastors in Sierra Leone are not saved or weren't saved. They came out of the war and they thought, well, this is one way that we can maybe get some money and so on, and somebody would give them a Bible and they try to preach, and therefore there's a big void there in teaching. And so that Senesi and his wife Margaret were the leaders. Senesi passed away a couple years ago and Margaret took over, and she's the one who came to see us. And she said, and what she's saying, that group of churches completely changed because of the word of God that was brought in. So good things happening. I tell you, there is good things happening all over the world. Amen? And let's not be in the mully grubs. You know what mully grubs are? Mully grubs, we have a tendency, we look at things that in the news and stuff, and sometimes we say, you know, getting what I call mully grubs. You know what mully grubs are? Is that a Lancaster County word or is that an Amish word? I'm not sure which. You never heard of it. It means you're like down in the dumps, negative, and you know, that's what it means. But let's not be that way, even though we see things around us that may not look the best. But there is a lot of good happening, even in our own nation. I mean, there is a move among the young people. I don't know if you know it or not. You hear of great things happening among the young people. When we were at Taylor University, they had a worship service the night before the graduation. The room was full of young people. Hallelujah. And of course, some of their parents and so on. But you talk about worship on fire for God. It's so encouraging to see the young people. Amen. 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 So we had a great trip. Great trip. So continue to pray for our vision there. We have to go back. We have to go to Kono and straighten things out there. So, because they're having some issues with church politics and so on. And I'm sure that never happens here. Sometimes, no, I won't say that. So see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. When we were here the last time, we talked about the word circumspectly. It means you're watchful. You're alert. You're looking in all directions, making sure that you have your guard up against the enemy. You're aware of the enemy's ways so that when he comes, you recognize him. Because when we recognize him, then we can take authority over him.
Yes.
And you keep him out of our lives, our children, our grandchildren, our families, keep him out. And we have authority to do that because we have promises in the Word of God.
Yes.
That my children will serve God. My children and my grandchildren will all serve God. They will all make heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Because of the promises of God. And also because we continue to pray, lift them up.
Yes.
Even though a few of them are not living in the way we would like them to live. But we know God has a plan for their lives. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I mean, that's so simple. I don't know why we complicate things so much. The days are evil. It simply means we live in a world that's not redeemed. And every day we face evil. Every day we face temptation. Amen. And every day we have opportunity to strengthen our faith by overcoming those temptations. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. When we know the word of God, we will know the will of God. When we know the will of God, then we are wise.
Yes.
We are wise when we know the will of God.
Yeah.
We walk in the wisdom of God. I know we pray a lot for the wisdom of God. And I'm not saying we shouldn't. But if you really think about it, the wisdom of God comes from the word of God. So if we think God's just going to someday open up a can and pour it on top of our heads, his wisdom, that's not how it works.
Amen.
His wisdom comes from his word. So when I spend time in the word, I become acquainted with him through the word of God. I will have the wisdom of God in my life. Some of us have more wisdom in areas than others, but you may have more wisdom in an area than I do. Come on.
Yes.
And so that's why we walk together and we help each other. Then it says, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. These are the two foundational things of our Christian walk. The foundation of the Word of God and being filled with the Spirit of God. Those are the two foundational things. It is very simple. We spend time in the Word of God, and we spend time fellowshipping with God by His Spirit who lives on the inside of us. And as we do that, we become fully acquainted with Him and His will. And we are guided by Him, by Holy Spirit, because we hear His voice. We recognize His voice. If I never spend time with Holy Spirit, I will not recognize His voice. I recognize the voice of Kathy, my wife. I know her better than I do any of you. Why? Because I spent a lot of time with her. I have become acquainted with her, not at a distance, but I have become acquainted with her by spending time together. That's how it is with God. Some people say, I just would like to know God. Well, spend time with Him in His Word, mainly in His Word, and with Holy Spirit revealing the Word to you, making it alive on the inside of us. Then you will know God. And we can get to the point where it says in Hebrews, we can even discern good and evil with our senses. Because we know His will. In other words, we can make a split decision because we know what God's will is. Now, that's another whole teaching about, you know, hearing His voice and so on. Then it says, then these two foundational things, if I have these two in my life, these other verses, these things will happen. It's not like I have to force myself to do the next verses. The next verses are a result of what I have in me.
Yes.
So I don't have to come here in church and say, well, now I got to sing a psalm to you or something. Or I got to, you know, do things that I make myself do rather than it flowing from the inside of me. And that's what the kingdom of God is about.
Yes.
It's in us and it should flow from us. Even when we minister to people, it should flow from in here. And it becomes the easiest thing if you're full in here, in ministering and praying for other people.
Yes.
And it becomes wild sometimes and joyful. So it says, this is what will happen. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always, giving thanks. What's the opposite of giving thanks?
Mully-grubs.
What? Mully grubs. You got it. You got it. Mully grubs, complaining, murmuring. God hates those things, according to Philippians. So that's the opposite. So if I am mully grub, if I am complaining, I'm not thankful. And if I'm not thankful, then I must not be filled with the Spirit at that moment.
Absolutely.
Come on, I'm preaching really good. So I use that as a gauge. If I find an attitude within me, which I do sometimes, which I'm sure none of you ever do, but an attitude within me that is not thankful, you just kind of feel, ugh, and you like feel like complaining. I get cynical and critical and judgmental. That's my personality more. And so that's how I get if I'm not thankful. And I recognize, hey, I'm not following the Spirit of God right here. I'm not allowing the Spirit of God to shine through me.
Yes.
Maybe I'm not as full of the Spirit as I think. So I have to spend time in the Word and with God and so on to bring it back. So giving thanks, that is a sign of being filled with the Spirit. In my life. Evidence. I like that word. Evidence. Thank you, Randy. Randy helps me preach. That's great. I love it. So, singing to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always.
Yes.
for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's some debate about for all things. Well, let's not get sidetracked by that right here. All right? We need to have a thankful heart. And if something has gone wrong and you don't want to give thanks for, you can give thanks for something that's happening in your life. That's good. You don't have to dwell on that, because that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to dwell on it so that you get your eyes off the Lord. And then he can bring defeat. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, did you ever notice that it didn't stop there? We love the next verse. It says, when I'm filled with the Spirit, when I'm full of the Word of God, full of the Holy Ghost, that I will have a submissive attitude, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now, the word submission, I might have mentioned this, the word submission doesn't mean that you tell me what to do and control me. That's not what submission means. And you notice the next verse then says, wives, submit to your husbands. He didn't change the subject. Wives say, I don't want to submit to my husband. But don't look at it as a control thing. If your husband is controlling you, then I guess you have a right not to submit to him. Ooh, I shouldn't have said that. Now remember that, don't you go out of here and say to your husband that Dan said, I don't have to submit to you. Don't you do that. No, at the end of this chapter it says you respect him. Husbands, love your wives, and wives, respect your husbands. I have nothing that I can respect him for. Yes, you do. You can find something. Respect is as much a command as loving my wife is. Not expecting any return. So as a wife, you can respect your husband because you love God. As a husband, I love my wife even if she doesn't love me back. It's unconditional. I'm getting a little bit off the subject here. But it's unconditional. Respecting your husband is the same thing. It's unconditional. You respect him regardless if he loves you or not, or if he shows his love. If the agape love in this verse, in the last verse of this chapter, is an unconditional love, then respect must also be an unconditional respect. Not based on performance. All right, let's get off of that meddling there. But submission means you support one another. You support one another. And in a congregation like this, to support one another, you have to put away selfishness. You cannot allow a rift to form because of one or the other being selfish. And if I am selfish, I need to lay it aside. I need to lay it aside for the sake of the body. Amen? Tell you a story. When we were in Sierra Leone, I know a man named Johnson. And we had an opportunity, because we had a breakdown on the road, because of that, I had an opportunity to sit down with him, which we had fellowship with him over the years. But he is a man who has like 400 churches in his ministry, travels all over the world and does conferences about planting churches all over the world. He just was in Tennessee. And then a couple of days after we saw him, he was going to go to Egypt. But he has a lot of influence in the nation. He had run for mayor of his city back maybe 10 years ago, and they stole the election from him. Maybe we know a little bit about that, huh? We won't get into that. But they stole it from him. He clearly won, but they still declared the other guy mayor. And so everybody was like, well, you got to fight this thing. He says, no, for the sake of peace, I will not fight it. So he laid aside all his selfishness for the sake of the city. And because of that, his influence grew in the nation. In their last election last year, the election was stolen as well from the opposition. And they all know it. He was instrumental in the country avoiding a civil war by talking to these people and working for peace. He got the opposition, even though they knew they didn't lose, he got them to sign off on the election. Otherwise, there would have been a civil war. He said, don't go by your selfishness. Think about how it will affect the nation and for generations to come. He met with the opposition leader. He met with the people in parliament. Today, he meets with the president. He has great influence, but he is a peacemaker. If you find a rift in our midst, that's what we need to do.
Yes.
You say, yeah, but I got to stand up for what's right. Yes, but you can do it in a way of peace.
Amen.
Amen. I said you can do it in a way of peace.
Yes.
When I lay aside my selfishness, then we can work towards peace. And if we do that, it's amazing. When we support one another, it's amazing what God will do to bring us together. I don't know why I shared that. I don't know if that fits here or not. If it does, fine. If not, then just get stuff out of it anyway. Learn from it. But I felt I needed to share that for some reason. So back to the word. Back to this scripture. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is.